Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Metzia Daf Nun Tes. We will begin on Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis, the last words on the Amud. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Baba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Noichlai L'Adam Shiyov Al Suffocatious. It's preferable for a person to do the Avera of having relations with a woman who we're not certain is or isn't a Nesishish. Versus embarrassing somebody else. Rashi says the Gemara Menolon. From where do we notice halacha? Says the Gemara the Darish Rava. From what Rava taught us, the Darish Rava, Ma'idik Siv, David HaMelech's enemies spoke negatively about him, were ridiculing him, and they said, "Btzale samchu v'nesfu, nesfule nechem karav le'dame." Tzale is a woman, because we know that a woman was created from the tzela. Chava was created from the tzela of Adam Harishon. And David HaMelech was speaking about Bathsheba's his wife, that he married her, even though she was a Suffolk Mekoreshes. Because as Rashi explains, the Gemara teaches us that when David HaMelech began leading battles, he instituted that whoever went out to battle would write a get to his wife, that in case he passes away during the war, she will have been divorced from the time the get was given, and therefore there won't be an issue of Yibum or Aguna. So it says Rashi that when Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, went to war, David and married her, she was at that point a Suffolk Megreshes, because maybe, as indeed happened, he did not survive the war. Tosfos says, Pshat in the name of Baron Tam, that the people who would go out to battle, the soldiers who would go out to battle, did not write this type of a get with a tanai. But rather, Tosfos says, what they happened was they wrote an outright get. They wrote an outright get for their wives. And therefore, the only thing Tosfos says is that they did this quietly, that no one should marry their wives. And therefore, Bathsheba was called a suffocatious ish, even though she was technically completely divorced, as Tosfos says, but since it wasn't public that she was divorced, she was called a suffocatious ish. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when this entire episode of David and Bathsheba happened, there's a malach whose name is Duma, came in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that David HaMelech deserves to be punished for doing the Avera of having relations with the Eshes Ish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered that Bathsheba was David HaMelech's Shidduch from when the world was created. To which Duma said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but David HaMelech wasn't aware of that. And since David HaMelech was not aware of that, so how can he rely on that? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as we just learned, that Uriah had written a divorce for David HaMelech. So to which Duma said, there's still an issue, because the halacha is that if a woman loses her husband, she has to wait 3 months of Havchana to be sure that her husband, that she's not pregnant, and that we shouldn't have a question, who is the father of the baby? So Hashem said that Bathsheba doesn't need the Avchana because Uriah never had relations with Bathsheba. So to which Duma said, but David HaMelech didn't know about that. Moreover, if we know that part of the episode, Duma says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is that David HaMelech told Uriah to come home and have relations with his wife. So obviously, David was not aware that Bathsheba wasn't having relations, that Uriah and Bathsheba weren't having relations. However, it's not considered he did an Avera, because it was more than three months from when Uriah had gone to war and he hadn't been home. So the concern that they would have had that she was pregnant, even if David didn't know that they didn't have relations, wasn't relevant. Says so, asked the Ritva This story is a very powerful story, but how do we know from this story that somebody who embarrasses somebody is worse than somebody who has relations with Eishes Ish? Because David HaMelech, you can't bring a right from David HaMelech's story, because David HaMelech did tshuva for what he did. Says the Ritva, the point of this Gemara is that the fact that the enemies of David HaMelech were making this point is a proof. The fact that the enemies of David HaMelech were making this point, that's the basis of the entire Gemara. Amidav Fene Kadosh Baruch Hu. So David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gol Yidul Lefanecha, you are well aware, Shem Hayim Karim Besari, that if they would rip my skin, Lo Yehoyu Dami Shaisis Loretz, my blood would not come out. Because, as we've been discussing, when somebody embarrasses someone else, it's as if he causes his blood to spill. My blood has already been spilled, but in terrible embarrassment that I've suffered. Even in a time where they're learning the Gaon Va'olos and they're not learning Eben Ezer, and as the Mashal says, what's the point of telling us that they were learning the Gaon Va'olos? So we know that the Gaon Va'olos are about Tsaras, and we know that Tsaras comes because of Lashon Hara. And even though they were learning halachas about Lashon Hara, doesn't stop them from saying bad things about me. Tosfos says that what is meant here is that Negaim and Olos are very difficult subjects to study. And what they were saying was that at a time where they are learning such difficult subjects, they're still not bothered to speak negative to me and saying, I'm really David Abba Leishasish, David HaMelech, somebody who has relations with a married woman, Misasa Bama, what type of Misa is he sentenced to? V'ani Amalahem, Misasa B'chemek, Yesh L'chelek L'Olam Haba, still such a person will have a chelek in L'Olam Haba. Amal V'mchaveri B'rabim, somebody who embarrasses somebody publicly, Eloi Chelik B'Olam Haba, won't have a share in Olam Haba. What you're doing is worse than anything that I could possibly do. So the Mefarshim ask that if embarrass somebody is like killing him, and they were saying it's the same as somebody has relations with Eishes Ish, so he should have a share in Olam Haba, because everybody has a share in Olam Haba. So the Sefer Menas Hamor explains that there are two ways of embarrassing. That one way of embarrassing, that you speak about negatively about a person who's sitting there, and it's not obvious that you mean that person. And then it's obvious that you're referring to that person. Of course, that is much worse than the first case. And when the Gemara says here, it says the Menayos Amar, that somebody who embarrasses somebody publicly, Ein L'chelek L'Olam Haba, is referring to a situation where everybody he knows who you are referring to. Where is the source for this? So the Magen Shmuel says, because the Pasuk says, Ki Dvar Hashem Baza U'mitzvaysay Hefer, Hikaris Tikaris HaNefesh Ahi Avayin Haba. The person who embarrassed somebody for no reason is just going against what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And somebody who does something so terrible doesn't deserve a share in Olam Haba. Tosfos Yontif says that every person is born with the Tzelem Elokim. We're all born in God's image. And if you embarrass somebody, then what you're doing is you're embarrassing Hashem. And therefore, if you're embarrassing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then that's why Ein L'chelek L'Olam Haba. The Rambam has a different approach. The Rambam's approach is that somebody who acts in such a terrible way, it's a proof that this person is a bad person. And therefore, since it's a proof that such a person is a bad person, he doesn't deserve to have a Shir in Olam Haba. It's a very interesting Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim says that somebody who's unfortunately blind, so when the Torah speaks about the various blemishes of a carbon that should not be brought, we shouldn't call him up to that parsha. And the same thing that somebody who there are rumors have done this Aveira should not be called up to the Aliyah that speaks about Erva. Of course, it should not be done in an embarrassing fashion. We just don't happen to give him that Aliyah. And if we don't happen to give him that Aliyah, that's not considered that we're embarrassing him. It's only considered that we're embarrassing him if we do something actively. Just not calling up that Aliyah doesn't mean that he has to have that Aliyah. It's not called an act of embarrassment. It would be preferable a person should be ready to jump into a fire versus embarrassing somebody. Remember the story of Tamar, that Tamar got pregnant, and she actually got pregnant from a father-in-law Yehuda, but instead of, and Yehuda said she should be burnt, and the pasuk says, he mutzas, she was being taken out to be burned, v'sholchel chamia, and she sends to her father-in-law, Lema, saying, isha she'elaloi nechi hara. She sent the things that he had left with her, but she wasn't ready to say by herself what he did. So of course the Maram Shif asks a question that maybe she didn't say anything because she was confident that Yehuda would admit once he got these things that belonged to him. So the simple terrorist that he says is that here her life was in danger. Yes, there's a very strong possibility ahead, I'll admit, but there's a possibility that he won't. And even though it wasn't certain and her life was on the line, she still was not ready to embarrass him. And as the Shari Tshuva points out, he says embarrassing somebody is considered like you killed a person. We spoke about it in our previous year, the complexion of his face changes from white to red and then back to white. And there's a very big machloikus. We know that here the Gemara says that if you embarrass somebody, it's as if you killed him. And the question that the Rishonim discuss is that we know that there are three Averis that are Yehorig Val Yavar, Gil Arayis, Shvichas Tomim, and Avodah Zorah. And the question is, if our Gemara is saying that if embarrassing somebody is like killing him rather to jump into the fire, what is the halacha? Is that the halacha that a person should rather give up his life than embarrass somebody? Or just teach us how serious it is, the isser of embarrassing somebody? The Rabbeinu Yoina says that if the Gemara says that it's equivalent, that's why it's in the same category. So, of course, the question is, if it's in the same category, why isn't always mentioned amongst Averis that one has to give up his life? So the Rebbeinu Yoina explains, since the other ones are explicit, and this is not explicit, that's why it's not mentioned. Another pshat is, because it's a subcategory of murder. And since it's a subcategory of murder, it's included in Shvichas Tomim. The Miri, however, disagrees. The Miri says that the Gemara doesn't mean to say that one has to give up his life, literally, in order to avoid embarrassing somebody. What it means to say is, the Gemara is just trying to teach us what a severe Aveira it is, but not to the degree that one has to give up his life. Because if that were indeed the case, whenever the Gemara speaks about somebody after giving up his life, the Gemara should have said that. And the fact that the Gemara doesn't mention that is a proof that that's not required. I saw that the Sefer Ma'aseh Nisim on the Haggadah Shel Pesach writes that Nachshon ben Nadav, we know, was the first one to jump into the sea, and that was caused the sea to split. Where did he get this courage from? Because he was a descendant of Tamar, Eishes Yehuda, and she was ready to do what's right. That's why her grandson, Nachshon, was also ready to do what's right. And he says, that's what the Chavistah says, Pshat in Hallel. B'seis Yisrael Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov Me'amloyis, Hoysa Yehuda L'kotshay. What's Hoysa L'huda? Hoysa L'huda, it should have said Hoya L'Yehuda. Yehuda was a zocher, was a male. Hoysa is a lashon nekevah. Explains the Chavos Das, the hoysa over here refers back, the hoysa over here refers back to Tamar. Hoysa Yehuda lekotchoi. Where did Yehuda get this courage to be the Kadosh? Hoysa, from their great-grandmother, Tamar. Amar Rav Chinen bar Hadidi, Madik Siv, V'soni Isha Samisai, Am She'etcha V'tayra Mitzvahs Al Teneu. Somebody who is like you, that fulfills the Mitzvahs V'tayra, you have no right to hurt him in any way. And then Mashar points out that this is speaking about embarrassing somebody. But when the Torah speaks about cheating somebody, there it says ochicha, and it's a different language. It says the Gemara, a person has to be very careful about the way he speaks to his wife. Because women are more sensitive, and therefore they're quicker to cry, it's much more likely that you will violate a law. The Ein Elio, the Gra, says, why does the Gemara use the word la'olam? So he says that even if you have a wife that is difficult and she's difficult to live with you and she doesn't help you learn Torah, doesn't make a difference. The halacha is that under all circumstances, one has to be careful about anas ishtai. And the Iyun Yaakov says that a husband and a wife learn how to live with each other. So if by husband and wife, of course one may not hurt his wife, but by a wife, she'll be meichelem, she'll forgive him, they're living together. But if a woman who's not your wife, and as the Gemara just said, women are typically more sensitive, how much more careful you have to be not to hurt women in any way that should cause that they should be embarrassed. The Shaar Tefillah are no longer open. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Gam ki ezek v'ashaveya." Even if I cry out, "Sosim tefilosim." However, says the Gemara, "V'abi sheshaar tefillah ninalu." Even though the Shaar Tefillah no longer are open, "Shaar demas l'ninalu." The gates of somebody who cries are not closed. Shenemar, "Shima tefilosim Hashem v'shavasi Hashem al demasi al takris." Don't turn away from my tears, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu always looks at the tears of a person. So I saw that the Sefer Taifas Reim explains why would the Shaar Demas Lo Nimalu. So he says that we find at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the water, and the pasuk says, V'yemavdol b'mayim l'mayim. There was water up in the Shemayim, and there's water down in this world. And the world, in the water that's down on this world, cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Be anan be'inon lahevi kamei malka." We too want to be next to Hashem. And you put us down in this world, we lose the opportunity to be next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So as long as the Beis HaMikdash was standing, we were able to deal with that issue. The way we were able to deal with that issue is because we put water in the Sechamayim. There's water and salt. But we don't have water anymore. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. What is the way that water that's in this world could still be close to Hashem? That's the tears of a Jew. The Mefarshim point out, Chazal teaches, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mis'ava L'Tfilosim Shel Tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for the Tfil of Tzadikim. So what's Pshat, they ask, that our Gemara says, "Ninanu Shaar Tefillah," that the gates of Tefillah have been closed, where we find so many places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually interested in hearing our Tefillah. So they explain that when somebody davens, it's difficult to assume that the Tefillah is 100% pure. Sometimes he's thinking about other things, he's not davening with the proper Tefillah. However, when you speak about tears, you can't fake tears. They're sincere. And since they're sincere, that's why the Shaar Demas Nanalo. On the other hand, I saw that the Sefer Siach Sarfi Kodesh says if tears are always accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was there need for gates? So he says that only sincere tears are accepted, but otherwise that they're not accepted. Another pshat that the Parash Yosef says, if tears are always accepted, why does there need for shari dima, for gates? So he explains that the person is not supposed to just rely on the tears. Shari dimas loy ninalu. You don't just rely on the tears. The tears have a gate. You also have to think about what you could do, how you could do better, or what you should do to help yourself get out of the problems that you're in. Amarav, kol ha'olach ba'atzas ishtoi, somebody who follows his wife's advice, noifel b'gehenim, she'enema rak lo ha'yu ka'achav, the pasuk speaks about Achav, who was a horrible rasha, and what caused him to be such a terrible rasha, says the pasuk, asher hisasai izebel ishtoi, his wife Izebel was the one that convinced him to do what's wrong. So I saw that the Sefer Teres says, let's just, Amalei Rapopal Abaye, so ask Rapopal Abaye, V'amri Inchi, Itcha Gutza, if your wife is very short, Gochen V'tilchishla, bow down and listen to what she has to say. So he said that you should follow your wife's advice. Answers the Gemara Lakasha, Hava Mila Da Alma, Hava Mila Da Besa. There's Ruchnius and Gashmius. By Ruchnius, the man should be the one to establish what to do. By Gashmius, it should be the woman. And the Gra says that Chazal teach us Ish v'Isha Shechina b'neihem, because the letter Yud is from the word Ish, and the letter Hey from the word Isha. That's what differentiates the man from the woman. And he explains that the Gemara Masechta Menachos Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph says that the Olam Hazeh was created with a Hey, and the Olam Haba was created with a Yud. So that's why that the letter Yud is the extra letter that we find in the man's name. Because Yud, Olam Haba, Ruchnius, is the husband's domain. The Hey is in the wife's name, because the Gashmius, the Olam Hazeh, is in the domain of the wife. Says the Gemara, Vishachrina, Habamila Shmaya, Habamila the Alma. It's very much the same. The Ben Yoyada explains that there are two psukim that seem to be contradictory. One pasuk says, Matzu Isha Matzu Toiv, there's nothing better than a wife. Another pasuk says, Umaitzi Ani Mami Mavasis Isha. The answer he gives is if the husband and wife establish their family in the family life in the proper way, and everybody understands what is their responsibility, then Matzi Isha Matzu Toiv. But when things get confused and the man takes the woman's job and the woman takes the man's job, that's when we have problems. Amar Rav Chisda, Kol Hasharim Ninolim, all the gates of Shemaim are closed, Chutz Mishari Enor. If somebody was hurt and he cries out, Shnema Hina Hashem Nitzav Achaymus Anoch Ubiyadai Anoch. That's a scale. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the pasuk says in Amos that a Kodesh Baruch Hu stands and judges people if they are not honest. If people are not honest in their way that they treat other people, then they're going to suffer. Amar Rav Elazar, Hakol Nifra B'dei Shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes people through a Shliach, Chutz Meinoah, except if somebody did the Aveira of Einoah. If somebody does Einoah, B'yad Einoah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself punishes him. And I saw, because somebody who suffers Einoah is likely to cry, and the Mashah says, we learned a few moments ago, that Shari Dimaloy Ninalu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very sensitive to tears. Amar Avu Shloisha in a bargain Ninal B'Fayim. The three people, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to their Averis all the time. Anah the Gezel of Avodah Zarah. Anah the Ksiv of Biyodah Anach, as we just spoke. Gezel the Ksiv, Chamos v'shad yishama b'Hashem apanei tamed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly paying attention to somebody who is dishonest in his financial matters. Avodah Zarah d'ksiv ha'machisi oisei apanei tamed. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, lo'olam yei adam zar. A person should always be careful b'tvua b'tech beisoi, that he should have enough food in his home. She'emarim matzui b'tech beisoi shel adam. What causes that there should be quarrel in a home? El ales kitfuah, when there isn't watit. Shenema asam gvuleich shalom chel chitim disbiyech. When is there shalom in the home? There's shalom in the home when there's chitim, when there's watit. Amra papa, hanidamri inchi, kemishlam shar makada, when there's no longer any barley in the container, nakish v'asa tigre v'besa, that's when there's going to be quarrel in the home. When is a person considered poor if he doesn't have enough grain? The pasuk says, because the pasuk says, "V'yachnu leim v'yeshchisu." The ksiv yida yisod ma'iv b'nei midyan. All of the tzaras came because they didn't have enough grain. Amar Avul Chelba, "Loylam ye adam zar b'kfayr ishtay." A person should always be careful to give his wife the proper respect. Shem b'bracha mitzui b'tech b'yishu shel adam. Bracha comes to a person's home, el b'shvil ishtay, only because of his wife. Shnem the pasuk says, Lavram heitav b'avura. The Avram had all the blessing that he had because of Sarah. V'hainu d'amal le'rova l'b'nei chazor. Akira l'neshchayu. To respect your wives, keicha da'atru, that you will become, if you will show your wife respect, you will become wealthy. So I saw that the B'nai Yisachar and the Sefer B'nai Derep Kudecha explains that we learned in the Masechta Baba Kama that if a wife is giving tzedakah, the person is not allowed to receive tzedakah from a wife because we can't be certain that our husband gave her permission. Only a small amount. But if you're going to be wealthy, then whatever tzedakah she gives, she's going to have permission to give. So, if you'll treat your wife properly and you'll let them give as much tzedakah as they want, then by you giving tzedakah, then you will become wealthy. The Mishnah, Masechet Kehillim, speaks about the Tanur Shel Chaknoi. There was an oven that was made out of pieces of earthenware. And Rashi explains it was made out of pieces of earthenware. And then there was sand that connected them. And the question is, how do we look at this oven? Do we say that because it's made out of cheres, that the halacha is that it's thin like a kli cheres? Or do we say because sand is what's connecting it, it's considered like a kli adoma? What would be the nafkamina? A kli cheres is mekabel tuma, and a kli adoma is not mekabel tuma. Another way that the Rishonim discuss is that this was like a oven that could be taken apart. And since it's an oven that could be taken apart, the question is an oven that can be taken apart considered like one whole oven, or is it considered like a broken oven? So the Mishnah says, Chat Chayus, if you break the oven into parts, the Nasan Chol Bechoyul Choya, and then you put sand between these pieces, Rabbi Elazar Matar, Rabbi Elazar says that it's not, again, following Rashi's Peshat, it's not considered Kli Cheres, but Chomim Matarim, that it is, Tamim, it's considered Kli Cheres. V'zeu Tana Shel Chnoi, and this is the famous story of the Tanur Shel Chnoi. Ask the Gemara, Chnoi, what does the Chnoi mean here? Amar Yudah Mishmul, Shekifa Devararim, that they, Rebbe Leza and the Chachamim was about to learn, had a very serious machlokes, and they gather around him, Ka'achna, like the snake that encircles a person, and what it means is that a snake, once it circles around the person, that person doesn't have a chance to survive. And that's what happened here. They didn't want to give Rebbe Elazar a chance to survive. Rebbe Elazar said that this oven is tahar, and they said that it's tamei. Tana b'ayis ha'yayim, on the day that they had this machlokes, Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim, Heshiv, Rabbi Elazar called Shuvas Be'olam. Rabbi Elazar gave various reasons why it should be fine, like Kibluminan, and the Chacham did not agree. Amalahem. So Rabbi Elazar said to him, Im halacha kamaisi, if I'm correct, Chorav zu yachiyach, there was a carob tree, that carob tree will prove that I am right. It says the Gemara, what happened was, Neka Chorav imakaymai, the carob tree went Meya Amma, 100 Amma away. Vamalei, and some say it went a distance of Arba Meis Amma, 400 Ammas. Amalei, so they told him, we can't bring a raya from the carob tree. So then Rabbi Elazar says to them, if I am correct, amas hamayim, there was a canal of water, should prove that I am right. It says the Gemara Chazor Mayim Lachreim, the water went backwards. Amrlai, to which they said, Eimavim Raya Me'amas Hamayim. Again, it's not a way to bring it. Amrlai Me'amalach Kamaisi Chayisli Beis Medrash Shechichu. The walls of the Beis Medrash should prove. He took Chayisli Beis Medrash Shalipol. In other words, what he said was, the walls of the Beis Medrash will fall. Ga Be'am Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua said to the wall, Im Tamid Chum Natsk Mezeb Zeb Alocha. We have here a debate between Talmidei Chachamim in the area of Halacha. Atem Matifchem, where is it your place to involve yourself into this machlokes? So says the Gemara. Loi Naflu Mekvei Gaidish Rabbi Shua. So now the walls were in limbo. The walls were in limbo. On one hand, they were worried about Rabbi Shua. On one hand, they were worried about Rabbi Elazar. And what happened was, these walls remain on a tilt forever. So Rabbi Elazar now says to them, there will be a proof that the halacha is like me. Says the Gemara, Yotza Baskov Amra, at that moment the Baskol came out and said, Malochem Eitzel Rabbi Elazar. He said to them, who are you to argue with Rabbi Elazar? Shalach kamais become mokon. The halacha is always like Rabbi Elazar. Amar Rabbi Shua al ragla v'omar. At that point, Rabbi Shua got up and said, Lo b'shemayim hi. It's not based on a baskol. We don't paskin halacha, we don't pay halacha this way. So what are these three things that the Gemara that Rabbi Elazar wanted to prove that he was right? So the Gra explains that in order for a person to become a Talmud Chacham, there are three things that he has to do. He has to be satisfied with minimum, he has to be modest, and he has to be a masmid. He has to constantly be learning. So Rabbi Elazar brought a raya from the Charif. The carob tree is always the proof of having the very, very minimum. Because a carob tree is, we know from the story of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, that Rav Shimon ben Yochai was satisfied just with carob. The next thing is that, so they said that is not enough to prove that just because you're satisfied with very little, that you're a Talmud Chacham. So then they said that water, the raya was from water, which is the paradigm of modesty, to which they said that alone is not enough. So then he said, the Kaisli Beis Medrash that could say Edis, that I sat and learned all the time, that I am a masmid. And still they said, it doesn't make a difference. So the question is, Rabbi Shua says, Loi b'shemayim hi, that the Torah is Loi b'shemayim, as the Gemara says, my Loi b'shemayim. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yimya, Kfanit the Torah Mahas Sinai, the Torah was given in Har Sinai, and we don't follow a baskoil. The Torah says, we follow the rabbim, and we don't do anything else. So the question, of course, is that if the halacha is, as the Gemara just said, we follow what Chazal say, what the Chacham say, so how is there a baskoil that came out contrary to that? So one pshat is, of course, that it came out for the honor of Rabbi Elazar. Another pshat is not that the baskol meant to say that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar in this case. It meant to say that in all other areas of halacha, there we're going to follow the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Another pshat that they suggest is that the Baskel was actually going to test them. Would they be strong enough that they're going to stand up even to the Baskel? And I saw that the Sefer Drosha Saran says that there's a tremendous lesson in this Gemara. The Gemara's lesson here is that we have to do what's right. And even though there were all of these proof that Rebbe Elazar was right, if we believe that what we're doing is right, then we have to do what we believe is right. The pasuk says, "Hishlich emes arza," and the Chazal teach us, "Emes ein emes al Torah." What that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down the Torah and sent down the emes arza to this world, and it's in this world where the halacha is established, not according to the Baskel. So Tosfos asks, we know that Gemara Masechta Yevamos says that the halacha is like Beis Hillel, because the Baskel says that the halacha is like Beis Hillel. But here we say that we don't follow Baskel. So Tosfos says that the Baskel Beis Hillel was different than this case. In this case, Rebbe Elazar was a yochid, an individual who was disputing the roiv. And there, the halacha is, as we just said, that we follow the roiv. There, it was the roiv said like Beis Hillel. The Baskel was only there to support what was the halacha. So it's a very different type of situation. Moreover, as we said before, that the Baskel of Rebbe Elazar only came out of honor for Rebbe Elazar, so we can't bring a proof from that Baskel to the Baskel of Rebbe Hillel was really there to establish the halacha. And that's pshat, Rebbe Nissen Goyen says, when the pasuk says, Tyrus Hashem Tamima. Tyrus Hashem Tamima means that the Torah we receive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tamima, and there's no room to add or detract from it. It's now up to the Chachmei Yisrael to decide. To say the Chidah, in a Sefer Shem HaGdolim, asks a question. There's a Sefer called Child Sechuvis Min HaShemayim. And this is a Sefer that was written by somebody who was asked different questions and wasn't able to get, didn't know the answer. And every night when he went to sleep, when he had this kind of a question, Min HaShemayim, they gave him the answer. So ask the Chidah, but we're learning in the Gemara here now, Loi B'Shemayim Hi. Says, so he says that when is that a law, when is that applicable? It's only applicable, Loi B'Shemayim Hi, is like an our Gemara. We have Machloikis, Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim, and we're not, and the halacha is Achri Rabbim Lahatis, we follow the Rabbim, and therefore we follow the opinion of the Chachamim, even if Rebbe Elazar is disagreeing. But what will be the case with us truly a Machloikis? With us truly a Machloikis, and we don't know what to do. And if we don't know what to do, so there the halacha is, do we have to turn somewhere? That's what the Shal Sechus Min HaShemayim did, that he turned to Malachim, to Shemayim, to guide him in what the halacha should be. Says the Gemara, Ashkei Reb Nosson Leyor, Reb Nosson Mitzah Leyor, Omalei, Mai Ovar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beishata. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing as he saw this entire debate going on? Omalei Kochayach, he was smiling, V'omar, he's saying, Netzchuni B'ni Netzchuni. He was satisfied that they were arguing and that they were passing the Shaila according to the way that the Halacha tells us to pass, according to the way the Halacha tells us to pass in the Shaila. Amru, Oysayoyim, that day that we had the Machloikes Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim, if this Tanur is Tomei or Tahor, so there were foods that came in contact with that Tanur. And says, Havi Kol Tahor Shatir Rebbe Elazar, so everything that Rebbe Elazar said was Tahor, because he held that anything that was in this oven is tar, but it was really tar. Sarf and Beish, they burnt all of those foods for Nimnu Lov, and they decided that that halacha doesn't follow his opinion, and they don't, and the Rebechua, and they put him into Cherim. It's a euphemism. And I saw that the Maritz Chai says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy because he saw that Zoyis HaTorah that the Torah is the way the Torah was given, and nothing could change it. Amru, so now the Chacham said, "Mi yelech v'yedio." Who's going to want be the one to inform Reb Elazar that he was put at the Cherem. Amar Reb Akiva, ani elech, I will be the one. Why? Shem yelech adam she'en ahogin. Maybe the person that will tell him is not a person who's befitting that he should be the one to tell him. For nimtza machvas kol olam kulay, and he'll get Reb Elazar very upset, and who knows when Reb Elazar will get upset, what that will do to the world. And as the Mefarshim explained to Yerushalmi, Reb Akiva was a Talmud of Reb Elazar, and he knew how to speak to Reb Elazar in a way that he won't get upset. So explains the Gemara Master Reb Akiva, exactly what did Reb Akiva do? Says the Gemara, Lava Shchayrim, he put on black clothing, Nesatev Shchayrim, and he wrapped himself in those black clothing, Yosh Lofana Barichak Arba Amis, and he sat in front of Reb Elazar with a distance of 4 Amis. Reb Akiva says to Reb Akiva, Akiva, Ma Yamir Mayim, why are you sitting so far away from me? Amram Rev, Kemedem Vali Shechaverim Dilimcha. I think that everybody is treating you in Cherem, and that's why we're not allowed to be sitting next to you. When Reb Elazar heard this, he didn't argue. On the contrary, what he did was, he accepted it. Afu Kar Begodov, he ripped his clothing, the Chalz Manolov, and took off his shoes, as is the halacha for somebody who's a Cherem. The Yoshua Gabakaki sat on the floor, Zolga Ein of Demos, and Reb Elazar was crying, Loka Oilam Shlish Bezaisim, and because of that, third of the olives in the world got destroyed, Shlish Bechitim, a third of the grain, the Shlish Besarim, a third of the barley. Yesh Amrim, Af Botsek, Yesh Bidei Isha, even if a woman was holding on to a dough, Tafach, it got ruined. And I sort of Mefarshim say that ultimately we know that Reb Akiva had a terrible death. He's one of the Asura Haruge Malchus, and it all came from this. Tana Ach Gadol Hayu Ba'is Yoyim Shebekam Mokaim Shenasim by Reb Elazar Einav wherever by Reb Elazar by Einav Reb Elazar Nisraf Vavra Gamliel Hayu Ba B'Svina. Even though the Halacha was like Reb Gamliel and he was the Nasi, he was traveling on a boat. Varmer Lav Nachshel Tavei, and there was a terrible wave that threatened to drown the boat. Why is this happening to me? Because of what happened to Reb Elazar ben Hyrcanus. This that I put him to Cherem, and this that we pass like to Chachamim, is not because I did it for my own honor. Know that I do it for the honor of my father, his home, his family. The people should know that the halacha is like the halacha. And at that time, Nocha Yom Zappoi, the sea calmed down. Eim Shalom, the visa de Reb Elazar. Eim Shalom was the wife of Reb Elazar. Achse de Reb Gamliel Havei. And she was Reb Gamliel's sister. Muhum Maisav Eilich, from after the time they put Reb Elazar into Cherem, lo have a shafgalei Reb Elazar l'mil apei. They did not allow Reb Elazar to do nefilas apayim, to say tachnan. But, says the Gemara, hahu yoyim reish yarcha hava. There was one day that was Rosh Chodesh, which of course we don't say Tachnun. They got confused which day was Rosh Chodesh. So she thought that today's Rosh Chodesh, and therefore her husband Reb Elazar will certainly not fall Tachnun. On Rosh Chodesh we don't say Tachnun. But it really was, and she therefore didn't feel the need to stand there and watch him because she was worried that if he fall in the field of Sapayim, he's going to daven that Reb Gamliel should die. But she didn't think that that day was necessary. Ikadami, some say there was a different thing that happened. Asya Anya Vakaya Baba. A poor person came to the door, Vafikale Rifta, and she brought out bread to this poor person to give him tzedaka. Dafalalap Ashkhe, when she came back, so she wasn't able to prevent him. Amalai Nafalal Abte, she saw that he didn't feel sapayim. Amalai, at that point, she said, "Kum katilas lachi." By now, my brother's not alive anymore. Ad hachi nafik shipura mibeisur Gamliel. In fact, right away there was an announcement that came out from the home of Gamliel. The shoch of the Gamliel passed away. Amalei, so Reb Elazar said to his wife, "Menoyadat, how did you know that your brother died?" Amalei, kachma kublanim beis avi abba kol ashenar sharam ninalu chutz mishara no. And since you were hurt by my brother, I knew that by you saying in the field of Sapayim, then he can't be saved. So of course the Ritva asks, did she stand next to him all day, that she should make sure that he didn't stay in the Nefilas Apayim. So Ritva says that the pshat is that Nefilas Apayim is only so powerful if it's said immediately after Shemoneh Esrei. What she would make sure was that there was no, that the Nefilas Apayim, that as soon as he finished the Shemoneh Esrei, he wouldn't say in the Nefilas Apayim, and then it's not that powerful. And that's the Magen Avraham says, that the halacha is that you should not be mafsik between Nefilas Apayim, and Tefillah. The Rishonim also point out that from this Gemara it seems that we have a raya that the saying of Nefilas Apayim is not absolutely essential. Because if saying Nefilas Apayim was absolutely essential, how could she prevent him from saying Nefilas Apayim if that's an integral part of the Tefillah? So we see from here that Nefilas Apayim is only a Rishus. But we also see from here that Nefilas Apayim is so powerful. The Rivash has a different approach to this whole Gemara. The Rivash's approach to this Gemara is that what happened was that she would, when he finished the Shemoneh Esrei, she would begin to speak to him. Because she began to speak to him, he would get distracted and he would forget to say Nefilas Apayim. Says the Maratana Abaran, Hamanas Ager, if somebody teases a ger, Oyv B'Shloish Shalavim. V'Aloichtsoi, when somebody forces a ger to pay what he owes him, when he knows that the ger doesn't have the ability to pay, Oyv B'Shnaim, he's Oyv Tu Lavim. Maishno Hama'ana, why is when you heard him with words, you Oyv Three Lavim, the Ksiv Shloish Shalavim, the Ger Leisonu, the Kiyogah Itcha Ger Ba'atzchem Leisonu Esoi, says the Gemara, if we're saying that loisainu ishus amisa includes a ger, so then the Torah says v'loisachetzenu. The Torah says that loisachetzenu to a ger. The Torah says v'ger loisilchetz. V'loisilai kenasha refers to everybody, but now we're saying v'ger b'klal who is included with everybody else. It says the Gemara correct. Ella echadzeh, both a person who teases a ger or a person who forces a ger to pay back when the ger does not have the financial ability to do so. Shloish is over 3 lavin. Tanya b'leza galoim b'nei ma'azeh Torah b'shloish v'shloish mekemis. Why did the Torah in 36 places? V'amilei, and some say it was actually b'abom v'shish mekemis. B'ger, b'nei shesura ra. It's very easy, since he comes from this background, that if you're going to hurt him and tease him, he just may revert back. We're not allowed to create that type of a situation. My diksiv, says the Gemara, V'geloi son of Leisachetzenu, K'ger me'yisim b'eret Mitzrayim, Tarem nasun oimer, Mursh b'cho, atoyme l'chavercha. Somebody who has a defect should not point it out about somebody else. And we were gerim, V'hane da amri inche. And this is the saying that people have. The zakav le'zakav the yuksei. Somebody who has a relative that was punished, that was hung because of the king's decree, he shouldn't say to somebody else, hang something up. Even though he doesn't mean anything terrible, he's just asking somebody else, hang something up. But the word hang has a very difficult connotation to this individual. And therefore, the same with a ger. We understand how sensitive geyrim are, and we shouldn't say anything that could cause them pain.